Hi. Have you ever wondered about the atmosphere around you? Besides just looking at the stars, what's going on out there? There's some really weird stuff going on out there. Yeah. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So now you can kind of see a structure. See, doesn't it make sense? See, if we go, like in the army, we go through, you know, we have 4-star generals, and we have 3-star generals, and 2-star generals, 1-star generals. There will never be, hopefully, by the grace of God, there will never be another 5-star general again, because that takes a complete world war, and one general has to be over foreign military. So hopefully we never have that again. But then it goes down into colonels and majors and captains and all this stuff. Well, the devil has a structure too. You know, he'll set up some of the most troublesome, you know, like principalities around the capitals. Have you ever noticed that the state capital, our nation's capital is just completely upside down. That's an evil, wicked place. But I've noticed that each state capital has a demonic influence that's out of this world. Have you noticed that? And then even county capitals, you know, like courthouse buildings, you know, like the county seat. There's going to be a demonic influence involved in that place too. Now, here's the thing about the church that they don't understand is we have authority over that. And it's our job. It's our job to stand up to that. It's our job, whether you like it or not, to pick up a copy of that Constitution and go down there and confront your local servants that work for you and remind them what the Constitution says. See, they hate it when the church stands up. That's why they passed these special laws that said pastors were not supposed to try to influence anybody one way or another politically. We're not doing our job if we don't tell you the truth. You know. So we've got to do that. Because there, did you know that a lot of the politicians in Washington are demonically influenced? Did you know that a lot of the politicians in Austin are demonically influenced? Did you know that some of the politicians here in good old Jeff Davis County are demonically influenced? But the church just sits around waiting for somebody to do something. Well, they are doing something. They have been doing something. That's why this country is in such a mess. Millions and millions and millions and millions of Christians sitting around can't get their act together enough to go say, look, we're not having this in our county. One little Satanist can cause more problems in a whole school system. And the church sits there and wonder, well, why are they getting away with that? Because you won't go do nothing. You know, every time we have a National Day of Prayer, the whole yard should be filled up. Amen? And the day's coming when they can't hide behind their computer screens and have these Zoom meetings. That's going to come to an end. That is going to come to an end. And they're going to have to face us someday. I would hope that the church would show up in force to let them know what they think about that. See, these things that are going against us are demonically influenced. Amen? And it's these wicked spirits in the heavenlies. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. It says, I know a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for men to utter. That's Paul talking about somebody going to the third heaven. Now, if there's only one heaven, he wouldn't have talked about a third heaven. But he talked about the heavenlies in Ephesians. And the Bible tells us that we've been given authority in the name of Jesus in three worlds, in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth. See, this isn't the only place right here. This is earth. We have three heavens. There's an atmospheric one that's right above us. And then above that, where the stars are, is another heaven. And above that is the heaven of heavens, paradise, where the throne of God is. But you know, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it talks about these wicked spirits in the heavenlies. That's the first heaven. That's this atmosphere that's around us. Do you realize there's spirits flying around? We can't see them. You know, sometimes people get to see them. I've seen them before. I've seen demons before. Sometimes. However it happens, you know, that spirit realm gets opened up to some people. Some people see angels. You know, things slow down evidently enough for them to see angels. Some people see demons. Some people see evil spirits. You know, they somehow get that spiritual realm opened up to them and they see them. Now, sometimes it scares people out of their mind. Sometimes people understand who they are in Christ and they just take authority over them and it's over with. But you have to understand who you are in Christ Jesus. It's in Him. We are Christians. We have that anointing. We're not the divine Christ. We're Christians. We're Christ-like. But He's given us authority in these heavenly realms, too. You don't have to get in an airplane. This was weird. I was listening to somebody one time. I heard preachers talk about some of the goofiest stuff, but they get in an airplane. And they go out there and they bind all these spirits in the heavenly, flying around in an airplane. Are you goofy? You don't have to get in an airplane to bind anything in the heavens. You can do it right here. You know, if your prayer can hit all the way around the world in a nanosecond, what makes you think you got to get in an airplane to bind spirits in the heavenly? Sometimes people are just crazy. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Says, to be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? And what part has he that believeth with the infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is our close identification with Christ. He is our God. We are His people. He is in us. We got to understand that He is in us. Christ is the head of the body. Christ defeated every evil spirit there was when He came back to life. He even defeated death. That same authority that Christ had, He gave to you. When He said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. You've been given the most powerful name that's ever been on this earth, the name of Jesus. Look at 1 John chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. That is a verse that you need to stop and think about. As He is, so are we in this world. How do you suppose Jesus is today? Pretty good. I would say, wouldn't you? At the right hand of God? Seated at the right hand of God? All His enemies have been placed under His feet? He's pretty good, don't you think? I had one pastor say, well, why didn't he get healed? And he still got holes in his hands and a hole in his side. It's because he gave it all to you. I didn't know that at the time, but I do now. He gave it all to you. How do you suppose God sees Jesus today? Perfect. As He is, so are we in this world. How much do you suppose God loves Jesus? A lot, don't you think? A lot. As He is, so are we in this world. We are the beloved of God. With the same love that he loves Jesus with, that's the same love that he loves us with. All of it. That's a cool verse to think about. You can take a lot of adventures in your head with that one verse. Amen? Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. That verse right there is misunderstood by Christians all over the country, because they'll think that these miracles and healings and stuff like that that Jesus did, that was just for the early church. Well, what are we? We the late church? We're the same church. We're the same church. We're the New Testament church. We're in the body of Christ. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he healed yesterday, he'll heal today, he'll heal forever. Amen. Jesus did miracles yesterday. He'll do miracles today. He'll do miracles forever. He didn't stop being him. I think that's where people get confused. People change all the time, man. I've seen some people that seem to change their mind every time they take a breath. I told this one lady, I said one time, I said, "You're crazy." I did a job for him. I said, "You're crazy. You're like a fart in a whirlwind. I can't deal with you." She looked at me kind of funny, and I said, "Man, the Bible talks about people like that in the Bible. You're double-minded, man. You got to get it together. Make up your mind and go with it. Don't you change your mind every time you turn around. See, but them people equate that to Jesus. Jesus isn't going to change his mind. God's not going to change his mind. He said what he said and he meant it. He always meant what he said. He said, by his stripes you were healed. That means that it. As far as God is concerned, you are healed. He said, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. That's it. There is nothing else you can add to that to make it any better. That's just the way it is. You are saved. And then somehow people get tricky and they say, well, you got to keep doing stuff. I said, look, you got to understand what salvation was. I explained this to a hardcore Catholic one time. He was a tongue-talking Catholic, so he's born again. But I explained this to him. I said, you are saved when you get born again. You are saved. I mean, you're going to heaven. Well, I'm still being saved on this earth. Salvation. See, salvation includes healing, deliverance, protection, prosperity. All that stuff that a man needs is wrapped up in salvation. I'm not done being saved on this earth. I mean, I'm going to heaven. Don't get confused about that. I'm going to heaven. There ain't nothing I can do to make it any better. But look, I'm not done being healed. I'm not done being protected. I'm not done being delivered. I'm not done being prospered. Amen? When he completes my redemption and I get to heaven. Amen? Does that make sense? Amen. All you got to do is believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life, confess with your mouth, and you get the whole basket. Amen? There's no need to sit there and fight about it. And somebody will say, well, you're one of those that believes you're once saved, all saved. So, well, buddy, I'm not going to try to figure out how to get unsaved. And if you think a mistake here and there is going to get me unsaved, you're crazy. Amen? Look at Matthew chapter 20. I actually found out about some people that did get unsaved. And these people had operated in every one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They had operated in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And these guys got on national television and they said, I renounce Christ. I renounce the blood of Jesus. His death on the cross means nothing to me. I'm not having it. There's not much you can say to that. They gave up their salvation. You know, that's a bad thing, man. See, that's why it's important to just keep things simple. Keep in the simplicity of the gospel. Amen? Stay with Christ. But these guys, they renounced it all. And there's nothing more God can do for them. Amen? Look at Matthew chapter 20, verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked him, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. Can you imagine what it must have felt like? These two blind men, they heard about Jesus, and here he was coming. They started crying out. And the cool people around Jesus, the in crowd, saying, you go on. You go on. These guys had already been demoralized and dehumanized as much as they possibly could. They had to wear beggar's coats. They had to beg for a living. Their dignity was shot. You know, they were at the mercy of what people would give them. And now here comes Jesus, and the in crowd tells them to go away. See, I've been where the in crowd said, go away. And that's why I'm so touchy about that subject. If anybody turns to Jesus, that door is open, and everybody in here better welcome them. I don't care if they smell like 3 days of whiskey. If they turn to Jesus, this is the place for them. Amen. They don't have a chance without Jesus. You heard about that? You don't have a prayer? They don't have a prayer without Jesus. They don't have a shot. And the devil is working them over. And I don't know if you know this, but these people try to get their act together all the time. They try to quit drinking all the time. They try to quit smoking dope all the time. They try to live right all the time. They try. They really do try. I can tell you from firsthand experience. They really do try. They want to do the right thing. But they can't. Why? Because there's evil spirits that are influencing them. And if they don't have the witness of God inside of them and the power of the Holy Spirit, they ain't no match for a spirit. And that spirit will carry them off and do the wrong thing every time. And then they show up and somebody says, "You're going to hell, boy." I better not ever hear anybody say that again, because I got told that. I got told that. I knew I was going to hell. I had one foot in the fire. I knew those evil spirits were working me over. And I knew there wasn't nothing I could do about it. And so do these people. But then you know what happened? One day somebody said, "Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for your sins. He forgives you. And if you ask him to come into your heart, you'll be saved." See, you won't go to hell. My hand was in the air. That was the first time somebody told me the truth, and that was the first time somebody showed me the answer to my problems. I thought, my God, I ran into preachers all the time, and none of them told me the truth. No, not one of them gave me the answer. Isn't that a shame? There was one preacher that tried hard. He was a cowboy preacher, and he showed up. He is irritating as all get out to me. I'd be sitting at the bar drinking whiskey, and he'd come in there and sit right next to me. He said, "How you doing, buddy?" Boy, I just couldn't wait to talk to you. So I would just get me a bottle of whiskey and I'd go out in the woods as far as I could from anybody. And I'd get stuck. And a preacher would come driving over the hill. "How you doing, bud?" "Oh, I'm wonderful." But none of them told me how to get out of the trouble I was in. Finally, when somebody did, I thought, man, I'm on it. That's where we need to be. We see people in trouble all the time. We need to be that hand that reaches out and says, "Hey, man, it doesn't have to be this way. You know, God's not mad at you. He can fix this if you let him." But this guy right here was getting cut off. The multitude rebuked him. Now let's go to verse 32. See what Jesus has to say about this whole deal. Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will you that I shall do unto you?" They said unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. You know what? They left their life behind and they said, "This is the guy with the answer. He fixed us. We're going with him." You know, the goodness of God leads men to repentance. When somebody actually has a head-on collision with the goodness of God, they can't help but look and say, "He's never done anything for me before." And it catches their attention. I actually had a guy one time tell me, he said, God has never done one thing for me. I said, man, you're married and you got two kids, you got a ranch. I'd say he's done pretty good. He said, he's never done nothing for me. And I promise you, I don't think it was even a month later until his copper line from his propane tank to his hot water heater to his house got a hole in it. And that propane followed the line up into his house, and then the propane would fall down to the floor and go over, and it finally worked its way up to the hot water heater. And why it didn't just lift this house and take it to the next county, I just, by the grace of God, it caught on fire. And it did a little bit of wood damage. They put it out. And I just happened to be with him shortly after that. We were driving around out in the pasture, and I said, God done anything for you lately? He said, by God, he done a lot for me. It turned him around. You know, it turned him around. But you got to understand that there's forces working out there against people. And if they're not born again, they don't have any way to fight that off. They just don't. We'll do one more. Look at Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. They came to Jericho, and they went out of Jericho with the disciples and a great number of people blind. Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, the son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, the son of David, have mercy on me. There it is again. See, even believers can be demonically influenced. A lot of churchgoers are demonically influenced. But even believers can be demonically influenced. These guys have been in the presence of Jesus himself. They've seen him do miracles. They've seen him do all kinds of stuff. And here they are walking down the road, and here's somebody begging for help. And they're saying, be quiet, we're busy. But Jesus, what did he have to say about that whole deal? He stood still and commanded him to be called. They said, they called the blind man, said unto him, be of good comfort, rise. He's calling you. Come on over. All of a sudden, now, because the man said, now they look, this guy, come on in. That just drives me crazy. That's being two-faced. We got politicians thick as fleas that are two-faced. Christians shouldn't be two-faced. They need love. Be wise as serpents, but be innocent as doves. Love the hurting people around you. They're having a hard time loving themselves. This man, he had so much confidence in Jesus, so much faith, he casted away his garment and rose and came to Jesus. You know, It took me a long time to understand what he was talking about there, but I finally found out they had a special coat that these blind beggars had to wear. It was a special coat to identify them as beggars. That was their livelihood. That's how they made their living. Well, anyway, Jesus said, come on. He threw his coat away. He already had his answer before he got over there. He knew he was going to get it. Amen? I have a special boot I used to wear all the time. And I'd go to get prayed for and I'd be wearing that boot. And I thought, man, I believe. Why isn't anything happening? And I'd go get prayed for again and nothing happened. I said, man, I don't know what's missing. And finally, one day, I noticed these guys getting rid of their coat. I got rid of my boot. I got my leg. Oh, how long it took me to figure that out. Well, we got to do something that we couldn't do before. That's taking a step in faith. Jesus answered, said unto him, what will thou that I should do unto you? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. That's what it was. I was so focused in on my faith till I made it complicated and I didn't realize the simplicity of it. The guy threw his coat away and went. He believed, he received what he wanted before he got there. Amen? Otherwise, he wouldn't have threw his coat away. He went up there hoping something was going to happen. Amen? We just got to understand that a lot of the people that we're dealing with are like leaves in the breeze. You know, they get led one way by a spirit and led another way by a spirit. And they don't even know it. They don't know why they do things wrong. They just do. That's why it's important for us to understand that there really is a spiritual battle that we got to fight for these people sometimes. Amen? That's why even when somebody is being a smart aleck and they ask you to pray for them, pray for them. God just gave you an open door into their lives and you let God take care of the rest. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you for everything that you do for us on a day-to-day basis. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for taking care of us, for prospering us, guiding us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who teaches us, shows us how to rightfully divide your word of truth, and gives us revelation. He brings stuff to us that we don't understand, and he causes us to understand it. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.